So our next speaker is Eric Rice. He's an assistant professor at the School of Social Work at the University of Southern California. And his presentation is entitled Young Men Who Have Sex with Men and Geosocial Networking Smartphone Applications.
Good morning. I've actually lost my voice, which is an inopportune time. It had nothing to do with giant swimming. I just got to hear them running around the hotel. So how many out there of you know what Grindr is? Okay, good. This will be fun. Okay, so I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. Primarily this talk, I'm going to be discussing the possibilities of risk-taking associated with Grindr. Trying to talk a little bit about how Grindr might be used to do some novel sampling for YMSM who are actively seeking sex partners, and to discuss, very briefly discuss some of the implications for HIV prevention. Young men that have sex with men continue to be at some of the greatest risk for HIV transmission. There's been a great deal of concern about online partner seeking over the last probably decade or maybe even 15 years. And now with the advent of these geosocial networking applications, we've got a whole new world where we've added proximity. So it's not just, you know, does this guy look good to you? Do you like the things that they say on their online profile? But how close is he to you? So for the two of you who didn't know what Grindr was, this is Grindr. I love that the Grindr, these are the screenshots that they provide on their website. Notice there's no naked chests and everybody's showing their face, which is of course not the case when you actually get on the application. And so one of the things about this is that even though this is very new technology, it's disseminated, it's gotten picked up really fast, particularly in California. So we've got 4 million users over the world. They claim that they have 10,000 new users every day. So essentially what we are trying to do with this particular study is to look at what the primary uses of the application are, how many of the YMSM who are using it actually use it to find sex partners, finding out how finding sex partners is related to HIV risk. And what we were really interested in was, is the sex that men are having with the partners they meet through Grindr riskier than the sex that they have with men that they meet otherwise? So one of the things that's really exciting about this study actually is the sampling methodology. I know that sounds like a really nerdy thing to say, but basically what this app provides us with the opportunity of doing is actually getting random samples of men who are actively seeking sex partners without having to do traditional, really labor-intensive, venue-based sampling. So instead of going to a bunch of gay bars and AIDS service organizations, what we're able to do is just send out one interviewer. This is my interviewer, the lovely Adam Carranza. He was able to go out, create a profile, and what we sent him out was with the randomization chart, so that as he pulled up his screen for the Grindr, we had a protocol for which of the men he was supposed to approach, randomly selected, and then he would refresh his screen, keep scrolling down, and would continue on this way. And because Grindr has you can really easily get about a 5-mile radius of guys without much problem at all, what we were able to do is we were actually able to have him just sit in one coffee shop in the middle of West Hollywood, which is the largest gay neighborhood in Los Angeles, and he was able to recruit our sample, which ended up being 200 guys, in about 6 weeks, just going a couple afternoons a week. I mean, it was actually really, really, as recruitments go, it was very easy. And one of the other nice things is that because Grindr provides you with a little bit of profile information, you can actually use this to modify your search criteria. So we only wanted to sample men between ages of 18 and 24, so we were actually able to limit our searches to just guys who are 18 to 24 who are using the software. And we were also able to do it in the middle of the day as opposed to doing it at night, so we were able to avoid the sort of sticky issues of, well, when men are intoxicated, are they giving us the sort of consent that we're really comfortable with? We're not necessarily bugging them when they're actually just trying to go out and have fun with their friends. You know, you send them a text message and then they can get back to you whenever they want. So this is a sample screen of the sorts of text messaging that Adam would send back and forth with these guys. Essentially what we said was we sent them a text message asking them if they were interested in being part of an anonymous survey about how men use Grindr and about sex. We promised them a $25 gift card from Amazon at the end of the completion. So here's a chart showing what our recruitment was like. So over the 6 weeks, Adam contacted 1,500 randomly selected men. So here's the thing that's very different about this as opposed to venue-based sampling. You know, when you do venue-based sampling, you don't get 75% of the guys that you approach telling you to go away. What we had here was we had 75% of the guys that we send a text message to just ignore our text. And we figured that in order to not be kicked off of Grindr and viewed as harassing people, that we ought to only solicit people once and once and once only. So really, your ability to use your charming personality to get people to enter your study is really limited here. So only about 25% actually responded to Adam's texts. But of those guys, 90%, or rather 95%, I guess, said that they would in fact take the survey, but then only half of those guys actually did take the survey. So Adam got a lot of promises that weren't kept. So in the end, we got about 13% of the randomly selected guys came into this. And we actually, although I won't present a lot of detail on this at all today, we actually went and did some surveillance work later on to find out that the men who we got in our survey, relative to guys, and we used information we randomly selected, just the guys' profiles, and looked at the profiles and the information from their profile, which includes their age, their race, and their proximity to us, and whether or not they were showing their face on their profile. And what we found is that our respondents were a little bit younger than the 18 to 24-year-old surveillance data that we found. And we also found that our respondents were more likely to be showing their face. So there may be that the men who responded here are more comfortable with their use of Grindr as something that people know about. So here's our population, pretty reflective of YMSM in Los Angeles and West Hollywood, at least, underrepresented for African-American men, but African-American men also don't hang out in West Hollywood very much. Primarily an educated group, even though they're young. Almost everyone self-identified as gay or homosexual. Sorry, we put up here homosexual. In the questionnaire, it said gay/homosexual. We had a few bisexual, very few who self-identified as heterosexual. In fact, I think it was only one. Primarily strong attraction to men, low attraction to women. Almost everyone self-reports being single, which isn't surprising considering this is about finding partners. So we conducted a small community advisory group that we brought together of young MSM before we did this study just to talk to them about, hey, what's Grindr about for you? What do you want? And that community group essentially led us to create this set of categories about reasons for why MSM might be using Grindr. And so what you can see is that the media perception of this, and I think the fear that a lot of us have, is that this is just about finding sex. So finding people to meet, to have sex, to hook up with, I mean, that's about two-thirds, but there's also a lot of finding new friends, killing time, just entertainment, connecting to the gay community, and there's relatively little when it comes to connecting to in-person friends or finding drug-using partners. Okay, so here's this. Now we'll get to the sex. So 76% of the guys who we surveyed had had sex with somebody that met on Grindr. We were actually shocked by this. We thought it was going to be like 99%. But in fact, 24% don't. And then this is really the big money slide here. What we did was we asked everybody who had ever had sex with somebody they met on Grindr to think about two different partners. And so we asked them two sets of questions. We said, first, think about the last guy you had sex with who you met on Grindr. We said, first, think about the last guy you had sex with. Who was that? Where did you meet them? If he said Grindr, then that answer gets put in the red bars here. If he said something else, it gets put in the blue bars. We then flipped it so that if you had said Grindr, we then asked you, tell us about the last time you had sex with somebody you didn't, that you met other than on Grindr. And if you said that you had sex with the last partner with somebody you met not on Grindr, we asked you, the last time you had sex with someone you met on Grindr, what were they like? So what this is guys comparing their two most recent sex partners, one who was a Grindr met partner and the other who was an other met partner. And we asked them to just tell us, what did you do? And so what we find is that there's essentially no difference except for in condom use. And that is that men reported more condom use with their grinder met partners than their non-grinder met partners. We then also looked to see if there were differences in terms of the number of partners that guys had had. And what we found was that if you reported that your last partner that you met was somebody that you met on Grindr, you were having more partners. So the sex that you're having is pretty much the same kind of sex, but you may be having more sex, or sex with more guys. So we wanted to look a little bit, some preliminary looks at what this, what these sex differences are about. And one of the things that is not surprising to find out is that Grindr met partners, which are again the red bars, are very much more likely to be perceived as casual partners relative to a boyfriend, whereas the non-grinder met partner was oftentimes a boyfriend. So I was telling you about how we asked everybody who had ever had sex with someone they met on Grindr to tell us about their last two partners. So in this slide, what we've done is we've combined everyone who has been looking, so everyone who's ever had sex with someone they met on Grindr to talk to us about that last experience with their last Grindr met partner. And so what we found here was that 85% of the guys reported using condoms with their last Grindr met partner. So I mean, really, we only have 15% of guys who are reporting unprotected anal sex with their last Grindr met partner, which we thought was actually pretty encouraging given the hype and fears around around the ways that men are using Grindr. But then we thought to ourselves, well, we better find out what's going on with these guys. So this 15% is actually a very, very risky 15%. They have on average more than 50 lifetime anal partners relative to the folks who didn't report unprotected sex with their last Grindr partner, which was only 27 lifetime partners. And they also had twice as many partners in the last 30 days. So to sum up where a lot of these findings are pointing, essentially, one thing we want to point out is that men are using Grindr for non-sex-related reasons. I mean, 25% of the guys who we, well, I'm sorry, 24% of the guys that we sampled had never had sex with somebody that they met on Grindr. They were using Grindr purely for other purposes, like meeting friends, connecting with the gay community, just checking out cute boys, whatever it is that, you know, is their thing. Then we also found out that more condom use is reported for people that meet their partners on Grindr versus meeting their partners elsewhere, which we were somewhat surprised by. And then finally, this is a actually I pulled this slide out because I didn't think I'd have enough time within the 15 minutes, but at one point we actually did an analysis where we looked at whether or not looking at a person-by-person difference, so not just comparing overall the last partner met on Grindr to the last partner not met on Grindr, for each individual guy, looking at their differences between those individuals. And one of the things that we found out was that 72% of our guys engaged in exactly the same reported condom using behaviors. That was, if they used condoms on Grindr, then they used condoms not on Grindr. If they didn't use condoms, then they didn't use condoms. And what we found out was that only 8% of our population was actually riskier with their Grindr met partners. So this is yet one more indication that men, just because they're using this application to find sex partners, doesn't mean that they're necessarily using it in risky ways. And then finally, this 15%, great. And this 15% who had unprotected anal sex with their most recent Grindr met partner are also having a lot more partners. So these are the guys that we're really worried about, and we think we need to be targeting HIV prevention messaging around. So the majority are being responsible. We're really concerned about this 15%. And I think that a couple of other things that I just want to mention since I've got 2 minutes is, one is I think that this technology could be a really exciting way for us to be sampling at MSM who are actively seeking sex partners. Certainly, men who are in committed relationships, we're not going to get into these studies because these are primarily men who are single. But most of our HIV prevention efforts, or at least a bunch of them, are targeted towards men who are actively seeking sex partners. This could be a great way of getting those guys into HIV surveillance studies. It could be a great way of getting them into HIV prevention studies. I mean, it's a very, very easy way to get folks. I mean, unfortunately, you don't have the face-to-face communication, right? So you don't have the ability to, you know, use your charm and your wit to get them into your studies. You just, you know, they can ignore you a lot more easily. We also think that this could be a really exciting way to do some cross-city, cross-neighborhood sorts of work. And so that's what we're thinking about doing in the future, is trying to go to neighborhoods that aren't like West Hollywood and see if we can get men who are more on the down low about their male sex partner and behaviors, and see if we can get them into these sorts of studies too. So thank you very much.